Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Who is that girl?
Well, Jake. You look just fine down there, slithering in the mud like vermin.
No problem.
You're not going to get away from me this time.
Check that out! Go, come on!
Good to see you, sweetheart.
You contemptible pig. I remain celibate for you. I stood at the back of a cathedral, waiting in celibacy for you, with 300 friends and relatives in attendance. My uncle hired the best Romanian caterers in the state. To obtain the 7 limousines for the wedding party, my father used up his last favors with Mad Pete Trullo. So for me, for my mother, my grandmother, my father, my uncle, and for the common good, I must now kill you and your brother.
Oh, please don't kill us! Please, please don't kill us! You know I love you, baby! I wouldn't leave you! It wasn't my fault!
You miserable slug! You think you can talk your way out of this? You betrayed me!
No, I didn't. Honest! I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Oh, Jake. Jake, honey.
Let's go. Take it easy.
It is 31 minutes after the hour of 1, and this is the month of March of the year of our Lord, 2011. Thank you for coming by so that you might be butt slammed. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program, coming to you from high atop the Milkpacking District here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good things. We are here in the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network. Thank you for drawing near that ye might be amused and entertained, but mainly amused and entertained and not so much the informed, although we sort of tag that on at the end like those silver ball bearing things that you put on top of cake, even though it doesn't seem like you ought to eat them because, you know, they're made out of metal. But what do I know? It is Tuesday, March 29th, 2011, and welcome to Day 12. If you'd like to speak at us or with us or about us, maybe you can call up, and then we'll just leave the room or pretend not to listen, and then you can slander us and malign us in every conceivable fashion while everybody else listens in and snickers heartily. It's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. 6964. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. And I know you would like to do so. I know you can't wait to email. I know you can't wait to share all of your innermost thoughts with us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. If you want to email Dawn, you can do that as well. That's Dawn, D-A-W-N, D-A-W-N, @rickemerson.com. Text box open on the website. You can also Skype us if you'd like. That is Rick Emerson Show at Skype. That is our Rick Emerson username. It's Rick Emerson Show, all one word, at Skype. That's how you can do it. That's it. Those are the many ways. If of all of those options right there, there's nothing that suits your needs, I'm afraid there's no help for you. There's nothing. It is too late for you. There's nothing that can be done. I mean, you could do some sort of a remote viewing thing where you sit there with a Ouija board and you just you try to move some sort of an object or an obelisk or a microphone or something around here on the desk and spell out, you know, whatever your thoughts about penises are, but that's probably not going to work. So I would recommend really the phone or the email.
Or just sending you messages while you're on KPAM saying, butt slam! Because...
I get a lot of messages this morning on KPAM that just said penis. I would just...
after say penis, please say it!
I forgot to... But you wouldn't get him to say penis on the... Did we say penis on the... We've said testicles many times.
We said testicles a lot.
I wonder how many things we've said on KPAM that have never been said on that station. I mean, I don't really know. Here's the thing. I'm not some, you know, and I don't mean to knock these guys. I have many friends that are radio dorks. And when I say radio dorks, I don't mean people who work in radio. I mean, those guys who go, well, the station started as KOIN-FM back in 1952 with a translator in Eugene. And then later it became KALE. And that's when Cumulus Broadcasting bought it. And then it was simulcast with a station in Snohomish. Isn't that interesting? No. No, it's not. Not to anybody. But, you know, yeah. So I don't know the history of KPAM, but I would imagine nobody said testicles that much in quite a long time.
No, and I think that the number of, say, Star Wars references,
yeah,
and the amount of times that, and the amount of times we said Mr. Cocaine today
we
as
never
well.
Came up with a jingle, unfortunately, no. But that'll be tomorrow.
No, if any listeners want to come up with a, by the way, by 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, want to share with us a Mr. Cocaine jingle, no profanity, please. Or maybe not.
Yeah, it's okay if you don't.
We
do
got
that as
one
well.
Day left.
I mean,
come on.
What are they going to do? You're not allowed to come back. You know, I, you know, honestly.
The scary thing, we were talking about this. The scary thing is, day one, we went in there and everyone just kind of looked at us like, what are they doing
Who
here?
Who are you?
Day two, we get in there and they're like, oh, it's these guys again. And then when we leave, we're walking out. And I leave the studio before Rick. I'm walking out. And suddenly, like, there's people popping up and going, hey, hi, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. Nice to meet you. This is great. And I'm, like, going, why are they being so nice to me?
Yeah.
They act like we're coming back.
Well, I think that maybe it's, I don't know. Because
we both know that isn't going to be the case.
The thing is, I don't, like, you know, we don't really work in the building. I mean, we're just filling in, so I don't know what it's like to, work. Well, you've worked for... This is dangerous territory. Because I don't want to get you to. I'm not trying to say anything wrong with that place. It's just that every building has its own vibe. Every building has its own vibe. Every building has its own personality. Every company, every office has its own sort of tone and tenor. And maybe they're just that way with everybody. I'm not saying there's nothing. I'm not saying you're not endearing. I'm not saying there's nothing special about you. I'm just saying maybe they're a friendly group of people, and they're like, hey, you know, we didn't really get a chance to talk to them on Monday, but you know, let's just give them a warm KPAM welcome.
And that may very well be the case. I mean, our producer gave us cookies.
That's true. Those were good, too. I'm a big fan of those. And Charlie Maxton actually spoke to me today.
Yeah.
I mean,
I waved at the news guy, and he waved back.
It was sort of in a dismissive, snarkastic way, the way he does everything. But that's how Charlie says he loves you. All right, we'll talk more about our second day of adventuring on the airwaves of KPAM. By the way, if you want to hear our third and final day on KPAM, filling in for Bob Miller, who... I hope he's been told about all this. It would be awful if he just said, no, we're going to run some best ofs. No, just get to the airport. No, don't. Okay, bye. Locking the door. Call Emerson. Call Marconi.
Well, I guess he just started doing mornings, like, this month or something.
Well, no, he's been doing mornings. They're doing a weird... Now I'm becoming one of those guys. This is, as they would say, inside baseball. But they've got this weird thing going on where they're splitting the what they call the day part. So in the it was just for those who you know blah 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 blah. In radio, they don't just call it it's that stupid lingo thing that everybody's business has. They don't just call it the part of the day. They call it a day part. And so day parts and those are typically as defined by as Arbitron for rating purposes. And morning drive that day part is usually 6 to 10. Sometimes they'll say 6 to 9, but it's usually 6 to 10. And then middays 10 to 3. Afternoon drive 3 to 7. Nights 7 to midnight. Overnights midnight to 6. And that's just how it has been since man crawled from the ooze. But they've started doing this thing, and
so,
I guess...
So Bob Miller used to be 6 to 10.
He was 6 to... I think he was 6 to 9. I don't think Bob Miller works 6 to 10 anymore. I think Bob Miller is a little bit... I'm just... You know, I'm not saying he's sinister. I'm not saying he'll have you killed. But I'm saying that Bob Miller, I think, is a little bit like Paul Sorvino in Goodfellas. Where he said, Paulie didn't move fast, but that's only because Paulie didn't have to move for anybody. I don't think Bob Miller has to move for anybody. I think they would probably just move the station into Bob Miller's bedroom if he wanted them to. If he just said, look, I don't even want to get out of bed anymore. I don't even want to carry my own waste to the bathroom. If you could just bring a tray over. And they would just say, okay, Bob, you're the man, Bob. And they would probably just move everything into the, you know, he could just do a bed in if he wanted to because he's been around forever and people listen to him and he, you know, brings in a fair amount of revenue for whomever he works. And so, you know, and he's a good guy, whatever. But so he did 6 to 9 and I think it was, you know, what's it did, you know, 9 to 2 and then somebody else, whatever. But they just moved it. They sort of jiggered things around a little bit. And now he's doing this weird 7 to 11. Which hadn't really ever existed. I mean, that's a thing that really only matters, I think, to radio people. But that 7 to 11 day part is strange. Up until a couple years ago, you would never... There were no radio stations that had a show on from 7 to 11. You just didn't do that. And so I think that's the change. I think that they have moved him a little bit later in the day, and I think they have added an additional hour onto his program. So I'm wondering if in exchange for that they said, okay, and you can have 17 weeks of vacation. So can I just tell you this? I won't say who it is. The thing about working in radio is there are only two levels of existence in radio. I mean, for the most part, in a broad sense, there are two levels of working in radio. There's most of your career, for most people, where you just make no money at all, and you wake up every day and you wish you were dead. Or that you've gone to college, at least. You just wake up and you go like, crap, here I am doing this. I wonder if I could get some government cheese later on today. So there's that. And then there is when you're existing in some level of success in radio, and that's where you make a great deal of money, and you get a great deal of vacation, and it's like they're willing to be flexible and to accommodate all of your many needs and childlike whims and desires. Few people, you know, exist at that state. Most people just sort of drift along and then realize they should do something worthwhile with their life. If you make it to that rarefied level in radio where it's like you're making a lot of money for the station, or you're an institution, or you just have a really good lawyer, I can tell you, I have worked with it. It's like how the latter days of Carson's empire, where he was working like 2 days a week, because it was Monday was the best of Carson, Tuesday was like Joan Rivers or, you know, whoever, with Jay Leno. And then, like, I think Carson was there like Wednesday, Thursday, and then like alternate Fridays, you know, and that was it. And he was still, he was still like the man. He was still making as much money, probably more money than he made before. He owned the show. He had tons of vacation where he would just be gone for weeks on end, but it's like, that's what he got to. So I worked with a guy, this is not Bob Miller, but I worked with a guy up until a couple years ago who it was fairly successful. Had been in the Portland market for a long time. And I swear to God, that guy, not only did he work, I mean, I think he flat out got like 10 weeks of vacation a year. Made a massive amount of money. I mean, they just get a huge amount of money. Had a company car, I think. And then in addition to all of that, for half of that, he got 10 weeks of vacation. That's what? That's 42 weeks. So that's, 10 months? So half of those 10 months, he actually didn't even have to be here. He could just do the show from his other home in Arizona. He could just sit there on the porch, like, scratching his sack and just going, yeah, there you go. Hey, that's great. How about that Kenny G? Woo! And then, you know, and then just be drinking Mai Tais or whatever. So I'm not saying Bob Miller's somewhere scratching his sack and drinking Mai Tai. Who knows? I mean, I would be, but I'm just saying he's a successful guy, so he can kind of do what he wants at this point. That being said, I just don't know if he's reached that point. I think we talked about this yesterday, where he's just like, hey, you know, fill in Schmillin. I'm going to be drunk. Go ahead. I just don't know. Maybe if we actually rooted through his desk, we'd find out the answer to some of these things. Well, tomorrow's our last day. We should just do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe ransack his home.
As we've already established, no matter how nice they are to us, you know, there's no way. There's no way that this
actually,
is going to become
this?
Any kind of a permanent
one of the one of the folks in management on Monday, actually yesterday, when we finished our first day sort of filling over the KPAM. And again, if you want to hear the third and final day of that's tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. KPAM. One of the kind of middle management folks said, he said something very telling. I mean, you can tell everything from just the specific words that people use. And he said, that's great. No, it's wonderful. Good show today. Yeah, we're really happy to have you here for 3 days. That's great. That's awesome. He said exactly that way. As though, like, if you had any illusions you were going to be staying, let me crush those now.
So, in any event.
Coming up today, Clown Watch here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Clown Watch, also another installment of the greatest songs ever made. We'll be getting to that here. What is that, Fringer? It's not Toot Sweet. That's how it's spelled. It's not pronounced that way, though, probably.
Too sweet, is it?
Yeah, I don't
know. Quickly?
Americans say toot sweet, though.
That's
dumb. Our Americanization of it.
I don't think. Well, in any event. So it's going to be shortly, in the immediate future. We have another installment of the greatest songs ever made. We'll talk just a little bit more about the KPM this morning and so forth. Don Taylor is tracking the following headlines for you. Oh, we have a taser watch as well. Don Taylor's tracking the following headlines for you on this Tuesday.
The Supreme Court is considering key campaign finance reform. Turns out that counting your followers is a flawed way to measure your impact on Twitter. And 5,000 chickens are in a crash with a semi-truck.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So forth. Hey, again, if you would like to email us, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com or Don, D-A-W-N. @rickemerson.com. I'm saying that because I'm killing time because I wanted to find his email that I was going to read. There was something that I was going to be something that struck me as amusing that I was going to be reading, and then it didn't stay on top of my screen. I this is one of those things where the amount of technology that it takes to do a radio show, or that it seems to take, has just increased just exponentially over the years. Like I've lamented this in the past. Not even lamented, just observed. I don't know how I did a radio show before the internet. I mean, I did one. I mean, I went on the air every day and I said, "Hey, I'm Rick Emerson. I'm going to yell about some stuff." But I don't know what it was. I mean, it couldn't have just been like Star Wars and crab cakes or whatever. It must have been something else.
Well, I will share this while you're doing that, is that I'm saving the photograph of the overturned chickens so we can upload the chicken picture to Rick Emerson, which reminds me, of course, of the last 2 days we had discovered they have a special musical bed for chicken stories at KBAM because they have so many chicken stories. It's the song In the Mood with chickens clucking. And they talked about doing a lot of chicken stories, and I don't think I really took it completely seriously until our producer, Paul, was in the studio with us, and something happened. Somebody mentioned there was a chicken story, and he went, "Chicken story!" and ran out of the room.
He did. I wish we'd been taping it.
That's the most excited I've seen him in 2 days.
It was like he'd seen that his car was on fire, but he was really happy about it, and he wanted to go watch. You know? And you're right. He said it just like, "Ooh, chicken story." And he just bolted out of the room. Ooh, Yanni. And so he couldn't wait to run out of there at full speed. It was glorious. By the way, how did I know this would happen? For Bruce Hagler. The station at 860 went on the air for the first time in 1998. It's a Christian contemporary station. Employees included KOTK's own Steve Taylor. Steve Taylor. You want to talk about a guy that's my sworn enemy for life. Steve Taylor. The talk format started about 2 years later. He said, "Therefore, I doubt penis has been said much, if ever, on 860. That's right, because there really isn't much talk about the penis of the Lord. There's, God, I mean, one assumes...
Testicles, though. Woohoo! We cornered the market on that.
One assumes that Jesus had a penis, but it was probably used, you know, just for illustrative purposes. Don't ever touch this or have fun with it in any way. Zam, leper. There you go. What were we talking about just now? I don't remember how I did the show before the internet, and I also don't remember how I did the show without a laptop. Because I remember the first time, I mean, when I did my very first talk radio, here's a little trip down memory lane, and it really is, it's only my memory, but you're all going to have to find it amusing or just pretend that you do. You know, when I first did talk radio, not only did I not have a laptop, I didn't have a computer of any kind at all. There were no computers, period. In on the broadcast side of the building, except for, I don't even know what you would call these. You might know what these are called, Don. You're ancient, but you know what I mean. But it was the computer.
Abacus?
Well, but it was where the monitor and the keyboard, it was of a piece. It was one, you know, and it made a clackety sound, and it had the green, the monochromatic green. It was like the War Games.
Yeah, I actually worked on one of those. I worked for a travel agency that was owned by Qantas, and we used to make airline reservations and things like that on those, and I think they were just called computers.
Yeah, that's all it was, and it was just, and that was not even used on our station. That was used to run the automation on the AM station, and on a program which years later, by the way, I was amused with this because it turned out that it was actually from a company called C-Tech, which was awesome. But there was an automation software called C-Tech Automation, and I was like the only guy in the building that knew how to use it because I'd learned it in the mighty broadcasting metropolis of Kennewick. But there were no computers anywhere, except there was a shared Mac, one single shared Mac, like the original square, you boot it up and there's the smiley face Mac over on the sales side. No computers of any kind, really, over on the broadcasting side. And so whenever I do the talk show, and this is, you know, everybody's heard me talk about this, where I was down in the basement in this bomb shelter, and which weirdly the guy yesterday knew. We met whatever.
Yeah.
Some guy.
You were in a bomb shelter.
Some tall guy in suspenders who presumably makes, you know, makes a lot of money and, you know, I don't know, does it, I don't know, eats a fine selection of rare cheeses at home. But he goes, oh, yeah, show in a bomb shelter. And I was like, yeah, that's creepy. Why do you know that? But I would do this talk show, and I was downstairs. And, of course, my producer at the time, his name was like Tim or Tom or Tam or Trip or Tackle Box or something. But he was some guy, and he was up at the top, and he would answer the phone. And if somebody wanted to talk to me about something, wants to tell Rick, you know, is ass, you know, should die in fire alone and miserable, he would write it down on a scrap of paper. I don't even think we had Post-it notes. He would tear off a piece of paper, and he would run down the stairs. It's amazing he didn't trip and break his friggin' neck. He would run down the cement stairs, which were always covered with water because the building leaked terribly, even during the summer. And he would run down the stairs and go, here you go. And he would hand me, you know, line two says you are a dick, you know, and then run back upstairs. And, of course, by the time I would go to line two, the guy was already gone because we couldn't afford to have any hold music or whatever. And, like, it was, so you, like, if you were on hold, you didn't even hear my voice or anything. You just heard, like, click and then silence. And so that it was a lot of, like, running down the stairs. Here you go, line three. And I pick up line three, and I go, hello, welcome to the airwaves. Click, and the guy would be gone, and that was it. And that it repeat for, like, 2 hours every night. And then I remember being at a radio station in Salt Lake when I first got the internet. And I didn't know what it was. And I was like, I pulled a full-on Katie Couric, if you've seen that video that's going around, where I said, what is internet anyway? And it was a guy who'd wheeled in his computer from home. And everybody, literally, we were all gathered around the computer because I'd seen, you know, like bulletin boards and, you know, whatever, BBSs and so forth. But I'd never seen, you know, pictures, which I guess technically makes it the World Wide Web, not the internet. And we were all gathered around, and he goes, well, you see, it's like an encyclopedia with, you know, or whatever, however it is you introduce the internet to people. I don't even know how we described the internet to people at that point. What did you say? Did you say it's like an encyclopedia? I don't even remember how I described it to people.
I don't know. I remember my first internet experience. I was at my friend Greg and Brandy's house, and Greg showed me the internet on his computer. And he said, just pick something. Pick, like, say, a big company. And I
what
said,
did you
I don't
pick?
Know, Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And he said, well, I'm sure they have a website. And he typed in Coca-Cola.com. And then we waited for, like, 15 minutes while their page loaded. And then, yeah.
The picture scrolls.
Yeah. And then it was like, here, and look, and here's information about them. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's mildly interesting. Sure,
the
whatever.
First thing I ever saw, this guy who worked on the morning show at the country station there, somebody really noticed. No, you're really okay, somebody's noting this. I'm sorry, yes. So the guy who worked at the country morning show brought in the internet on his computer. He brought the whole internet in his pocket.
It wasn't very big then.
And he said something, you know, well, just give me something. What are you into? And I said, because I'm a retard, I said, Duckman, which is a... a cartoon voiced by Jason Alexander on the USA Network. I don't know why that's the thing that occurred to me. And he said, okay, Duck Man. And, you know, and then it was like some terrible, you know, like grayscale page with like a single color photo. And it was just text. It was like an episode guide. And that was it. Nothing, you couldn't click on anything. You couldn't, you know, there was no, I mean, you could point, no clicking though. And you just go, that's great. It's a picture of Duck Man. What does it do? Nothing. You look at it. And it was like, at that point, it didn't really impress me because I thought, well, I can go home and turn on my television and it's animated and it moves around. This is just a picture. The internet is stupid. I don't need this. I don't need anything from the internet. And then, whatever. And then I was, okay, I'm just going to be done with that. But then the girl I was dating at the time, this is when the internet really, this is when I understood exactly how, I understood how the internet would work for me. Because the girl I was dating at the time, they had internet at her office, at her workplace. She worked at, like, I don't know, some insurance company or some crap. Some place where, like, adults go every day. And she came home one day and she said, so we have this thing, it's called internet. And I went, I saw internet too, it's awesome. You know? I mean, the picture didn't move or anything, but it was kind of cool. If only it did something useful. And she had printed out, stapled together, and then handed to me an episode guide for, like, all, whatever, like, 9 seasons or something of Beavis and Butthead. But what was interesting was that it was an episode guide, and then the episode guide contained little notes about which music videos each episode contained. Because that was the thing. It was like, the little interstitial segments are sort of interesting. But it's like, you really want to watch them riff on the videos. That's part of it. And I'm like, oh, my God, here's the one that has that Pantera video. Now I know when I can watch, you know. And so that was what proved the use of the internet, was that it wasn't just a list of the episodes. It was a list with some additional valuable information. And I think when you went there, there was like a GIF where Butthead like went, it was like a two-frame GIF of Butthead going like frame number one, he was sitting normally, and like frame two, he was like kicking Beavis in the balls. And then it went back and repeated. And I went, oh my God, it's like magic. And it was just, it was the greatest day of my life. So, anyway, the end. I don't even know why we were, oh, because I was looking for a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we used to do shows with it, but so now I'm, you know, so thrown off because while I'm simultaneously playing like a jillion different sounds, I have momentarily put an email underneath something else on my desktop, on my Mac. And I can't, find it. This guy says, Rick, oh man, now we are old. Rick, I still remember my brother bringing home the Internet Yellow Pages, and it listed hundreds of pages of alt groups of all subjects. And he says, of course, the alt.sex group was by far the largest. So, hey, let me ask you this. I don't mean to be that guy, but whatever happened to the, I mean, if you are they like the alt groups like Usenet stuff? Is that still there? I don't mean like archived. Like, is there still some guy in the stupid, like in the Frank Zappa group continuing to post things?
I think it must be. Yeah, I think
so.
How
would you find it? How would you go there?
I don't know.
You know what it is? It's like that Pennsylvania Turnpike where the road has been circumvented around it, and you can see it, but you're like, there's no road to get to it.
As far as I know, it may be nothing but guys trading pornography and hacked software.
Well, that's true
and stuff.
Of every. You could just pick a random place anywhere on
but,
the internet.
But I mean, there used to be like so many like discussion groups about all kinds of things, and you would go there to talk to people about ham radio or about movies.
No, it was ham radio
or Star Wars, as the case was. Bobby and I talk about it about our Usenet experiences. How I was very, very active on the movie news groups. One of the primary movie news groups on Usenet, whereas Bobby was very active on the Star Wars Usenet group. And we both, you know, finally, and we talk at length sometimes about how this is, and our experiences there is why we're really not that interested in message boards and flaming anymore.
Yeah.
We had our fill. We've done it.
We've been there.
It's over. But, you know, that was like one of those things where you go, oh, I was a nom. I looked Charlie in the eye. You can't frighten me anymore with your comments.
I was there. I used Pine.
As we were talking about before the show about... A local forum, etc., dedicated to Portland radio that I was looking at. You were like, "Don't go there; it'll hurt you." And I was like, "I can't be damaged by comments anymore."
I think everybody has cracked your code, by the way. Just now, it's a local forum. Let me give the name without putting a .com behind it. It is interesting because this is where this all started. We were talking about this before the show, and I sort of forgot that, not just that you were on the internet, you know, like back when, but also I forgot that you were, you know, that you've been posting movie reviews online. And that's a thing that immediately people are like, you're worse than Hitler. You should die.
Exactly.
I hope that weasels eat your eyes. You know, and it's because you didn't like Jaws 4 or something.
Yeah. You misspell one thing or you get like an actor's name wrong. It doesn't matter that you haven't made a single mistake in your last 30 blog posts, but you make that one mistake and it's like, why do you even have a job?
You're not allowed to post in this forum anymore. You misused an ellipsis. You don't even know what an M-dash is. Get out. I told you, and you undoubtedly have known people like this, where, because I don't even know that it's like a thick skin, because it's like a thick skin, I don't know, I think I've got some variation on thick skin. I think I've got sort of, I don't want to say Teflon, because it's not like nothing ever bothers me, but it is, I've got like the duck thing, where most of it just rolls off me. It's, the thick skin sort of implies that like it hits you, and you kind of go, I guess that's not really important.
Well, this has it like, bothered I, you, did it ever bother
I
you?
I just don't care. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put it this way, and it's not like I'm some big tough guy or whatever, but I think this is a thing where my essential vanity really it helps me. This is where my essential, my egomaniacal nature has really been of a huge, it's been a benefit to me. Because I just care so little about anybody's opinion if it's not mine. I mean, really, if it's somebody other than me talking, it's like I sort of hear it and I kind of process the words, but not really, and not for that long.
Yeah.
So I think if I see something, Rick Emerson is a blah, 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 and I'm like, it's about me. Is it actually me speaking? No, it's not. I guess I'm going to filter this out. And it just goes into like a shred bin in my head. I just don't care. But I know people you know, who have gone to, and not just in Portland, because every city has some message board like this, where it's like five guys, and it's always guys, five guys sitting around and talking about, well, are they going to be able to get that dual transmitter? Have they gotten the, what about the transfer of call letters? Is that going to go through? And then they're sitting, and meanwhile, you know, and I've got an air check from 1978 of WZAZ. I'll trade that if anybody has like a, do you have a pre-Jazz KLOS air check from maybe 1985 when they still had Lucy in the Sky with Traffic? Yeah, I would trade you for that. It's like, how can you possibly care? I mean, it's like the degree to which I cannot even be bothered to care about what is said in a circle like that. I can't even overstate how unimportant it is to me.
Well, the thing I always find the most fascinating in forums like that are the guys who, we were talking about this as well, the guys who purport to have like hardcore insider information about things. And like just say in the case of, let's just say, us filling in for 3 days for someone on a radio station. And there are these guys on the site going, oh, yeah, it's an audition. Oh, yeah, it's for a mid-afternoon slot. Oh, yeah, they're doing this. And we're the ones who are actually doing it. And we wouldn't even, like, say any of that with conviction.
I think I mentioned
these
maybe.
These guys act like they actually have some kind of knowledge about something. And we're sitting here going, that's not necessarily true. Why would you? Who are you, and why are you saying this?
As the as FARC users would say, I work for the U.S. Mint, so I'm really getting a kick out of a lot of these replies. yeah. I think I mentioned that years ago there was a whole thing about, you know, Rick Emerson isn't even here. He's in California. He never actually moved here. He does the whole show via ISDN. Would that were true, my chums. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us again, you know, half an hour ago. It's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. I think this is the quintessential difference, too, between, and I don't even know that it's, I don't know that I've grown to be that way. I think it's just different the way people are wired, because I know people who have been, and not just radio people in any field, but I mean, I think especially if you're in the public eye, people who have been in radio for like 30 years and will just become seethingly, apoplectically angry about, you know, hate mail, or somebody snarks about them on a message board, or if somebody leaves a nasty voicemail, well, I just don't like that guy that does traffic in the afternoon. And they'll just sit there and they'll just boil over with anger about it. So that's what, there's three ways of dealing with it. There's that. Then there's Sarah, you know, and Sarah looks at it, and if Sarah sees that somebody is just really being horrible and hateful and whatever, she just sort of, she takes a deep breath and she goes, and she types a, thank you for listening, and a smiley face, and sends it off. Where, you know, she doesn't really care for it. It kind of bugs her, but she's not going to. But with her, it's like a force of will. Her whole thing is like, I'm going to dig in, and I will not let you upset me. You know, some people, it upsets them. She's like, you know what? I'm going to stop, and I'm going to get control of my senses, and I will not let you upset me, and I'm going to thank you, and then I'm going to go about business. And where I have always been the guy like, come over here and look at this hate mail I got. It's awesome. He says I'm worse than the Holocaust. Come here, check it out. Like, I used to do this compendium, and I miss these days. Back when I was first on KOTK, I used to send this newsletter, like, a couple times a month, and it was just a collection of all my favorite hate mails from that month. And I think we got up to, like, volume, like, 17 or something. And then I think people kind of figured out that it wasn't really having the desired effect, and they quit sending it, and I've always sort of missed it. So
yeah, that's one of the things that happens when you're a film critic, is that you sit around with other film critics and talk about the great hate mail you've gotten. Because, you know, you do occasionally, you don't just get hate mail. You get hate mail about such incredibly stupid things that it becomes just hilarious. And, yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. If someone sends me just some kind of, sort of, the more insane and over the top it is, of course, the better. I was like, this is awesome. It's really, really hard in email or in something like this to really hurt my feelings, because there are ways you can get me. There are ways you can just break me down and make me cry. But generally, these are not things that are going to be known by strangers, and they're not going to be able to, like, share it with me in email. They usually, you know, I have my own weaknesses and insecurities, but they're generally not related to anything that these people are going to be commenting on. So
they require putting electrodes and clamps on your bladder.
Pretty much, yeah.
By the way, Usenet, of course, is still there. Thomas Gill says you can get to it via Thunderbird. I should have known this. You can get to it via Thunderbird or Outlook Express.
Yeah.
And I guess that makes sense, because I think Outlook Express or whatever it was at that point is how I originally got onto Usenet once the World Wide Web was sort of there. And it was like you could expand. And then you go off to the bathroom and make, you know, get lunch and get coffee and whatever. You come back and it would still be sort of loading the, you know. Would you like to view the rest of this binary? Do you have 7 days? Final observation here, and then we should get some stuff done. This just says, God damn, I'm old. I think I still have my upgrade discs to DOS 3.11. Oh yeah, 3.11 was a huge jump from DOS 3.10. We assembled our first hot rod computer, an 8286 20 megahertz with a separate math coprocessor. Says, yes, I'm old. We were cutting edge, 1987, baby. Bam. There you go. All right. Whatever happened to the Altair? You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program, and thank you. So we got all those headlines coming up. We'll get to Taser Watch. What else did we say? Taser Watch, Clown Watch, yes.
Clown Watch.
Clown Watch, greatest songs ever made, and so forth. La-da-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba. News.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
A semi-truck carrying an estimated 5,000 chickens crashed and rolled on a Centralia road this morning, killing many of the chickens and injuring several more. Lewis County Chief Deputy Stacy Brown says the Freightliner truck crash happened at 8:15 a.m. in the 1900 block of Salzar Valley Road. There were 26 crates of chickens inside two trailers being towed by the truck. The chickens were being taken from a chicken farm on Schaefer Road to a Foster Farms processing plant in Kelso. Brown says the 22-year-old driver of the truck was unable to take a corner and he drove onto a soft shoulder, which caused the truck to roll. The truck damaged the shoulder of the road, part of the lane of travel, and a private fence. The truck is believed to be totaled. And I believe that I sent off a story to a picture. Words are failing me at the moment.
Me sent picture to
Rick Emerson Tubes.
Okay.
Of the overturned chicken crates. Deputies say the driver, who is to be cited for driving too fast for conditions, suffered minor injuries and was taken to Providence Hospital. The injured chickens were taken to Foster Farms so they could be euthanized.
Well, they're still tasty, Don.
I mean, they weren't going to be killed otherwise. It was like, so they could be killed as planned.
I don't think it injured the flavor.
Yeah.
Was anybody other than a chicken harmed killed
no.
in this?
No.
Okay, so I just want to make sure. Because this does seem very sort of C.W. McCall, this entire thing. So, all right, let's see. I'm going to go here and...
I'm going to bring those chickens.
What are you doing over there?
Just singing a little.
Is that your C.W. McCall?
Yeah, a little.
This is like the woman this morning, the listener who said, and I apologize, I think it was Rachel is her name, and she said, I have Rick Emerson's Hitler House song stuck in my head. And
you didn't actually sing Hitler House.
I didn't even really sing it. I just went like, Hitler House or something. And she's like, I've had it stuck in my head all morning, as though it was like some 7-part composition.
That's her new ringtone. It's just some her parents call her. And it just says, Hitler House.
That's exactly the sort of thing that the K-Pam was after. Could you sing more songs about Hitler and dwellings?
And please accuse our traffic reporter of being a bad American.
Oh, you know, I forgot all about that until just now. You know, here's the thing about that. Let me just, you should do one more while I'm putting up this chicken picture and making sure that it's loaded, and we'll talk about that.
A bikini-clad woman who is accused of starting a brawl at a Burger King in Panama City, Florida.
I'm sorry, Panama.
Florida.
Yeah, I know.
Is now facing a felony charge over an incident that was captured on video and has been viewed thousands of times on YouTube.
Excellent.
In the video, a woman identified as Camisa Smith of Montgomery, Alabama.
Camisa Smith!
Is seen hitting and throwing items.
Camisa, throw things everywhere.
She hitting items? Hitting and throwing items at employees. She's hitting employees.
Hitting items at employees.
I think she's hitting employees and throwing items at them. Also jumping onto the counter and hitting someone with a large container. After the March 19th incident, the 31-year-old Smith was charged with misdemeanor battery. On Friday, however, Florida authorities added a charge of felony criminal mischief with damage of more than $1,000. One of the employees said that Smith, who again was wearing a bikini, was complaining about her order at Burger King when the
it always
began.
Seems to be Burger King, by the way. This doesn't really happen to like your KFC, at your McDonald's, at your Arby's, your Hardee's, your Arctic Circle. It's always Burger King. Yeah. I don't know why that is. All right. Did somebody just – hey, well done on the Wolf Creek Pass reference, by the way. Excellent. See, that's something your casual C.W. McCall fan goes right for Convoy. But I'm saying your knowledgeable C.W. McCall fan, they go for Wolf Creek Pass way up on the Great Divide, on down the other side.
So now who did the theme to Smokey and the Bandit?
That was Jerry Reed.
See,
who did the theme to Smokey?
Well,
you're a bad American now.
That's what I was singing.
Oh.
So I got confused by C.W. McCall because I'm thinking,
I don't think you were singing that either.
Yeah, I was going, he's mad down, gonna get those chickens. Da, da.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're singing the remix, apparently. You're the club mix of that. Okay. No, that's
the cluck mix.
That is, yes. That is,
chickens.
Wow. Okay. That's Mr. Jerry Reed, who I'm almost certain is dead. Is he dead? He's got to be dead.
He's got.
There's
be
no
dead.
Way he can't not be dead.
Yeah.
There's no way he can't not be. I think he's dead.
Yeah.
Jerry Reed of When You're Hot, You're Hot fame and Pretty Mary Sunshine, and She Got the Gold Mine, I Got the Shaft. So he did Eastbound and Down, and then C.W. McCall, alias, I guess it would be Nay Chip Fries. He did Convoy, and then the follow-up was Wolf Creek Pass, flip side of which was Roses from Mama.
Hmm.
There you go. End Geronimo mode.
Hmm.
Here's Don Taylor.
A drunken fancy dress reveler threatened customers in a takeaway, which I believe is a
could this be more British?
A fast food place, while wearing fishnet tights and clutching a handbag. Angry James McInerney, 18, was stripped of his clothes by pals during a boozy night out, but he turned aggressive and threatened to stab customers when staff at Quigley's restaurant in Bristol asked him to cover up at 4:30 a.m. on February 21st. McInerney pleaded guilty to using threatening, abusive, or insulting words and behavior. Jeremy Oliver, who prosecuted, said the defendant appeared wearing just fishnet stockings and a T-shirt and carrying a handbag. When he was challenged about the way he was exposing himself, he started shouting and being threatening. He said he would, quote, stab them up, and told Mr. Davies to put your dog on a leash, referring to his girlfriend.
He started to go all munchy-wunchy on Twix of toast.
Will Palmer, who was the counsel defending the guy, said, my client is an idiot. And on the night in question, he was a drunken idiot.
Excellent.
He went out on a big night out with his friends, and they thought it would be funny to strip him of his clothes.
Well, let's be honest. They were right about that. It ended up being hilarious for everybody, less so for him, but that's not important. In an overarching sense, I would say that hilarity and comedy were both achieved. Plus, the guy was probably saying that in a powdered wig, too. He's an idiot. And he just sort of turned, and he had like a little string tie on.
Gestured at the fellow, and everyone just went, oh, yeah, he is.
My client is retarded. And then everybody went, oh, yes, very good, retarded. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. Here's Don Taylor.
We have a taser watch.
Excellent. Fantastic. Speaking of, probably speaking of somebody dumb, this is your taser watch for Tuesday. Fantastic. Here is Don Taylor with your taser watch.
I believe this may also be a British story. Nope, this is Canada. This is from our neighbors to the north.
Well, that's like being British.
A Brampton man, Brampton is in Ontario, Canada, is charged with murder. He was seemed to have superhuman strength as he fought off police tasers. Christopher Heard was tasered at least four times in a Brampton apartment before being subdued in the early hours of November 30th, 2008. Constable Bradley Nelson told jurors at Heard's trial, he screamed after the first taser. The taser lasted for 5 seconds, but he would fight back between each taser blast in desperation. Jurors know Heard had 2.5 times the legal limit of alcohol in his blood, and it also consumed some marijuana and mushrooms. He didn't act like a man who was intoxicated, said Constable Nelson.
Well, especially because everything he's taking, I guess you could argue this is a hallucinogen, but I mean, it's not like he's on stimulants. These are all sort of depressants, it sounds like, to one degree or another. So it makes you wonder exactly how strong he is when he's not all boozed up and out of his mind on, you know, whatever.
Yes, he killed a 36-year-old woman named Loretta Lavallee, and they found her laying face down on the bedroom floor. And they found her body. They were able to actually, you know, get past him and find it after he was subdued with the taser, batons, and pepper spray.
I wonder if that was a thing where, like, they did a lot of batons, then a lot of pepper spray, then a lot of tasering, or if it was a round robin sort of a thing. You know, if they had sort of like, you know, taser, pepper spray, now the baton. Taser, pepper spray, now the baton. Cool, kick to the groin.
Well, they were trying to get into the apartment, apparently, and he was trying to keep them from getting in the apartment. They used a baton to pry open the sliding balcony door. The guy apparently was trying to block them. He was also, by the way, completely naked.
Excellent.
And it took 4 officers to subdue him. And then a neighbor said that he heard the sounds of a struggle through the front door and heard stared at police with bulging and angry eyes.
Awesome.
Before charging across the living room at the officers.
See, here's what's so great about this is that, like, It's they always talk about, you know, like I think it was a review for Left 4 Dead 2. And they talked about zombies being sort of, you know, the perfect video game villain. Because they're kind of human, but not really. They're like Nazis. You know, you could just—and zombie Nazis are even better. They're even more perfect. Because, you know, it's just—you can feel, like, zero guilt. Like, you don't have to feel bad about it at all.
No.
You know, he's a Nazi or, you know, whatever, a zombie.
Yeah.
So this—it's like you don't have to feel—killed a woman, so it seems, nude— won't go down, bulging crazy eyes, yeah. Drunk, stoned, whatever. It's any sort of hesitation you had, gone. Tase him like a mother effer. It doesn't matter.
Pepper spray, baton, cattle prod.
Seriously.
Anything at your disposal at that point.
Because I was going to ask, well, if he's naked, I was wondering why they didn't just go right for the junk, because you figure that's the way to take the guy down. And I thought, well, maybe it's sort of even in Canada, they're manly. Maybe it's sort of a masculine thing. Like, well, we're not going to tase him in the junk. That would be, but they probably just thought, no, let's make this last. Let's really just, let's not get right to the center of that Tootsie Roll all at once. Let's, you just go right for the ear.
How often do you get a shot like this?
Almost never, Don. Yeah. I mean, that's how I live my life. And those opportunities don't present themselves that frequently. All right. I'm sorry. That's
that
your
taser
watch for Tuesday, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio program. You got me running, going
out of my mind. I can do it, bro.
You got me thinking that I'm wasting my time.
Don't chase me, bro.
I'll tell you once more before I get off the floor.
Don't chase me, bro.
Excellent. Somebody wants to know on a scale of 1 to 10 exactly how fatigued you believe yourself to probably not even be, but to feel.
Well, as an example, I'll have to say, God.
Well, I think we've got the answer. That's a 12.
Yes, it's
well
pretty
done.
High there.
Okay.
During the KPAM show, if you were listening, there was a point at which we were doing some story. It was about Kirstie Alley and Scientologists stacking the deck for her to win Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Someone said something. I laughed uproariously and then got so dizzy, everything got spinny.
Yeah, it was like you were going to fall out of the chair because somebody actually, it was like Alicia or whoever just said like, are you okay?
It was really, really odd because I had this moment where I went, oh, I feel slightly dizzy. Oh, that's funny. And then it just kept going and I suddenly went, oh, wow, that's like actually really dizzy. And then it was over.
So, okay.
But no, I've gotten almost no sleep for two nights.
Well, because you texted me. You sent me the weirdest text yesterday. It was, I keep trying to. This is the thing that only makes sense if you listen to the show. I mean, there's whole swaths of vocabulary used in this world that only makes sense if you listen to us like every day. Like if you miss even a day. I mean, even if you know, if you listen, if you're behind, I guess that's one thing. As long as you don't skip shows. If you skip shows, you're effed. Because then there'll be something that we just say that we latch onto and we say every day for the rest of our lives. And it's like, if you didn't listen like that one day, you'll go, why do you say six sometimes? Or, you know, what the hell is day 12 or something? But I got this text from yesterday, goes, I'm trying to sleep, but I keep picturing Jim Willig as a zombie Lyle Alzado. And then it was like, even just looking at the text, it was almost like it trailed off in a line of Z's. Like they were sort of implied.
Yeah, I got home. I was so exhausted. I said, I really need a nap. I have to nap. So I laid down and I couldn't. And I just kept thinking of stuff that we had talked about and things and replaying things that had happened and thinking about stuff. And then thinking about things like, that'd be awesome. Jim is a zombie Lyle Alzado. We could film like little promos for the show with him like sitting at a desk saying, I'm zombie Lyle Alzado. Here are reasons why you should listen to the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay, that is kind of funny.
I think we could do a whole series of things with Jim as things, just talking to the camera. We could do one with him as Lars Larson. And I'm just, and all of this stuff is going through my head, and I just can't get to sleep. I'm going to text Rick and tell him that I can't sleep because I'm thinking of zombie Lyle Alzado. And this was yesterday, and I was not nearly as tired yesterday as I am today.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see what you come up with this afternoon. I'll be watching my phone. The thing about being really tired is Henry Rollins once summed it up. He said, you know, the thing about sleep deprivation is it makes everything really neat. But it's kind of like being high, I think, where it's like you just have like the weirdest ideas, some of which are really, really golden. Most of which are just crap. But it's that thing where it's like, you know, you know, it's like the next day you look at your journal and go, I had the best idea for a business last night. And you look at it and it goes, you know, and it's just something like, you know, waffle hat. And you go, no. And you just close it and put it away.
I did that once. I remember I had a dream that was just the most amazing, awesome, fantastic dream ever that I'd had. And I wanted so badly to remember it. It was the middle of the night. And I'm like, okay, while I'm still remembering it and while so tomorrow, I'm going to write something down so that I remember this whole thing tomorrow. Because it was just so amazing. And I wake up the next morning and then I realize, oh, yeah, there was that thing. And I look around and I see that I've written on the bottom of a Kleenex box the words, I am a photographer for People magazine. And I had no idea what it meant.
That is awesome. That really is. And I don't, that's because, well, here's, I mean, so what did the idea, it was, purportedly, the idea was what? It was going to.
It was that just I had this insane, elaborate, fabulous dream that was so great that as I was kind of waking up out of it a little bit at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I wanted to be able to remember it and recount it to others the next morning. So it's like I'll write down something and I swear to God, I remember writing a whole lot of stuff.
So it wasn't even like an idea or an inspiration. It was a dream.
Yeah.
Which is even – so it's even less helpful when it's a dream because no two things in a dream are ever connected. So there's no way you can use that as some sort of Rosetta Stone to figure out the rest.
And then the thing is that even that, it triggered no memory at all. It meant nothing to me.
You know, that's the thing where your brain kind of freaks you out because you realize if you're in the right frame of mind, you can actually be either fascinated, puzzled, afraid, or even angry about this. When you realize there's a whole section of your brain that doesn't talk to the rest of your brain. Well, tell me what it meant. No. You know, and you're just like, what? Come on. It's like, and you just get the silent treatment. Yeah. You go, well, People magazine, the F does that, what does it mean? And everybody goes, I'm not going to tell you. You know, if you figure it out on your own, that's fine. I'm not going to let you know. It's like there's a whole room in your brain that you're not allowed to see, you know? And there's only, you know, you're just not granted access to it. It's like a finals club. You're just not allowed to, you know, you can look in the window sometimes, maybe late at night and it's frosted and you can see Loompa-like shapes inside, but you can't really go in.
And sometimes you actually do figure out what a dream means. And that almost makes it worse the rest of the time. Because when you do have that thing where you go, wow, what was that about? And then you think of a couple of different possibilities. And as soon as you know what it is, it all clicks into place.
Right.
And your brain goes, yes, Don, that's what that dream was about. And aha. So the thing is, when you're just kind of really reaching for something, if you've ever had that experience, every time you can't get it, you know it's like, well, if that was it, I would have that aha moment and know it. So apparently my brain is just not letting me know.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like, you know, your brain is like playing Sporkle, Don, where if you, you know, you're not going to, I mean, you'll get like a vague sort of hint or a clue. But they're never really going to guide you. It's like when you get the right answer, you know, when you type in like, what is Henny Youngman? Like, it'll go bing and magically. But it's like if you just, you know, if you're halfway there, it's not going to give you the rest. You got to get the whole thing and then it'll all be revealed or something. That's really the best analogy I could come up with. You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Still to come, we got another installment of the greatest songs ever made. We'll also have a clown watch. Don't forget to listen tomorrow. Well, to four things. Tomorrow's the best day of Don's life ever. Tomorrow, so we'll be doing our final day of fill-in for Bob Miller on KPAM. That is from 7 a.m. 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., as they say, on AM 860. And that's a thing that happened, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. We stopped putting the AM at the end. It's now at the beginning. I guess maybe because of digital radios or something or readouts.
I don't know.
I don't really care. I guess. Wait. No, I guess.
Because you always say, FM, almost always FM comes after the call numbers. But AM is now often before the numbers.
I think it's because it just, I believe it's because it flows linguistically.
Yeah, I think
and
so too.
Also, probably here's the other thing, because people are dumb, and there's probably X number of people that confuse it with time.
Oh, I'll bet that's true, too.
You know, so if you say, like, 7:50 a.m., they go, 7:50 a.m., what's happening then? And so, but if you say a.m. 7:50, you know, it's whatever. So, because people aren't that bright. Which is the reason why, you know, it's like a radio station that was, let's say, that is now 9:10 on the dial, used to just be called 91. But it's like, if you say, you know, it's like 91 a.m., people can't quite, you know. You can know they no longer assume the other zero at the end. So you get it, you know, the zero. You got to like say 9:10. People do. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm pulling myself back from the brink. I was about to start another long, pointless anecdote about something. Wait. picking the car back up, setting it on the track, and here we go. So that's tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. on 860 a.m. KPAM as we fill in for Bob Miller for the final day. And then we'll be here doing Legion of News. Then we'll be here doing the Rick Emerson Show. And then I'll be at home sleeping. Dawn will be at Cascadia.fm doing yet another hour of triumphant broadcasting and probably just weeping openly and praying to the gods for a swift death.
Well, the way I feel right now, I am thinking that maybe, just maybe, I might actually get some sleep tonight. Because
not if I call you every 5 minutes or so.
I felt like that last night. I felt like I need the nap. I laid down, couldn't take the nap, so I got back up and I stayed up. And then about like 9:30, I said I should get ready and go to bed. But you know, I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Nothing. 12:30, still awake. Nothing. I think I eventually just drugged myself, and I think I got like 2.5 hours of sleep.
Let's all have a moment of assembled shock at the phrase, eventually I just drugged myself. Can I just tell you this, by the way? If I had the ability to do so, if I had the resources and wherewithal, as you went home to try to nap, I would just get Nathan Fillion to occasionally look in the window. And then when you looked over, I'd have him duck his head down and be gone. And then he'd look back again and go, hello. And then he'd look and he'd be gone. Just for hours. Oh. Until your brain just snapped. You know, and then I'd feel
Why
bad.
Why would you do that?
Well, because it would be fun until the snapping part. I mean, the lead up, you know, all of the stuff that came before that would be amusing. It's amusing just to think about.
Then you'd be sad. You'd have to break in a new underhost.
Well, I was going to say, I have to do the whole thing by myself.
Yeah.
So, nobody I could leech Vizo off of. You know, that's no good. You'd
end up doing a show with Marconi.
Don't you ever say that! Go out and turn around 3 times and spit. So tomorrow, Bob Miller Show, Legion of News, this show, and then Don Taylor, along with Bobby Fatway Roberts and the world-famous Scott Daly, over at Cascadia.fm for Hamfisted Radio, also at HamfistedRadio.com. That is tomorrow. So the middle two of those four shows brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at Squires Electric. I could just have Joe Squires look in your window. I mean, he looks a little bit like Nathan Fillion. Like if you were to morph Nathan Fillion with the older brother from Wonder Years.
A little bit.
You know,
yeah,
he
does have a Nathan Fillion quality to him.
A little something there.
Yeah.
You know, because Nathan Fillion, here's the thing.
I bet Joe Squires has better things to do, though, than play practical jokes on me.
Well, I'd have to pay him, of course. But I mean, you know, really.
Ben, on the other hand, could probably come over. And
are you
what else is he doing?
I don't know, his girlfriend might have some ideas about that.
What, they're paying you to peep in some lady's window? That's no, she would say.
Well, it all depends.
No cobbler for you. By cobbler, I mean vagina.
Wow, okay. You need to take a little time out over there. You just don't talk so much for a while. You just maybe go walk around outside, get some air. Whatever it is that...
I'm fine. Please consider. Continue with the broadcast. Please.
No, you just take as much time as you need.
Okay. I think I'm better now.
Cobbler. I was waiting until you had the mouth half full of Vizo. Well done. Oh, I wish I'd been filming that.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing is, I knew I was going to do that just now, too, so I should have filmed it. I knew that I was going to wait until you had a mouthful of Vizo and say cobbler. I could have been filming all of that as it just unfolded. And by unfolded, I mean fell out of your mouth. Awesome. Well, that little bit of amusement was brought to you by Squires Electric, employers of Ben. You can find out more by going to squireselectric.com. Please don't say anything about this conversation. It's 503-252-1609. 503, I'm not making eye contact. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And really, more to the point, I mean, really now, today, more than ever, they make this show possible. And really, it's days like this where you have to just thank your sweet God Almighty for that. Because really, what would you do without this show? I mean, what would any of us do without moments of amusement such as we just witnessed? You know, I mean... That last 30 seconds there, right there, even if your $6.99 just bought you that whole exchange about Ben and the cobbler and the, you know, the whatnot and then the spitting, that's worth it. I mean, for me anyway. I mean, really, I get up and come here just for that 15 seconds or so. So, Squires Electric, they help to make this show possible. You can contact them if you have electrical needs, requirements of any kind. They are licensed, bonded, and insured, which means that they know what they're doing. It means they're going to get it right the first time, and it's going to save you time and money in the long run. And so it's going to be efficient and economical to boot. So if you have a business, if you have if you get a home you're going to be selling or fixing up, or you're going to be installing something, or maybe things haven't been running right. Maybe you just got it's an outlet that just doesn't seem to work properly. You just got something that always seems to be kicking off the fuse like way more than it should, or the power just seems to be going out even when there's no real reason for it, or something flickers or it sparks or whatever. Or if you're going to be buying a house or renting a house, you just want to make sure everything works right, so you don't get that 2 a.m. call that, like, that the alarm clock seems to be on fire ever since he started plugging it into that one outlet in the wall. You take care of all of that stuff by calling Squires Electric. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. And it's Squires Electric at SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere. We return next. Keep listening. Won't you please? It is the Emerson News Network. Stay right there.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Me and Earl was hauling chickens on the flatbed out of Wiggins, and we'd spent all night on the uphill side of 37 miles of hell called Wolf Creek Pass, which is up on the Great Divide. And we was sitting there sucking toothpicks and drinking knee-highs and onion soup mix. And I says, Earl, let's mail a card to Mother and then send them chickens on down the other side. Yeah, let's give them a ride.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
Well, Earl put down his bottle, mashed his foot down on the throttle, and then a couple of boobs with 1,000 cubes in the 1948 Peterbilt screamed alive. We woke up the chickens. We roared up off of that shoulder, spraying pine cones, rocks, and boulders, and put 400 head of them Rhode Island Reds and a couple of burnt-out roosters on the line. Look out below, 'cause here we go.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide.
Well, we commenced trucking, and them hens commenced a clucking. Then Earl took out a match and scratched his pants and lit up the unused half of a dollar cigar and took a puff. Says, my, ain't this pretty up here. I says, Earl, this hill can spill us. You better slow down, you gon' kill us. Just make one mistake and it's the pearly gates for them 85 crates of USDA-approved cluckers. You want to hit second?
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
Well, Earl grabbed on the shifter and he stabbed her into fifth gear, and then the chromium-plated, fully illuminated, genuine accessory shift knob come right off in his hand. I says, you want to screw that thing back on, Earl? He was trying to thread it on there when the fire fell off of his cigar and dropped on down, sort of rolled around, and then lit in the cuff of Earl's pants and burned a hole in his sock. Yeah, sort of set him right on fire. I looked on out of the window and I started counting phone poles going by at the rate of 4 to the 7th power. Well, I put 2 and 2 together and added 12 and carried 5. I'm up with 22,000 telephone poles an hour. I looked at Earl and his eyes was wide. His lip was curled and his leg was fried. And his hand was froze to the wheel like a tongue to a sled in the middle of a blizzard. I says, Earl, I'm not the type to complain, but the time has come for me to explain that if you don't apply some brake real soon, they're going to have to pick us up with a stick and a spoon. Well, Earl reared back, cocked his leg, stepped down as hard as he could on the brake, and the pedal went clear to the floor and stayed right there on the floor. And it says it's sort of like stepping on a plum. Well, from there on down, it just wasn't real pretty. It was Hairpin County and Switchback City. One of them looked like a can full of worms. Another one looked like malaria germs. Right in the middle of the whole damn show was a real nice tunnel, now wouldn't you know. The sign says clearance to the 12-foot line, but the chickens was stacked to 13-9. Well, we shot that tunnel at 110 like gas through a funnel and eggs through a hen. We took that top row of chickens off slicker and scum off a Louisiana swamp. Went down and around and around and down. We run out of ground at the edge of town, bashed into the side of the feed store in downtown Pagosa Springs.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side. Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Front seat looking at me, telling me you love me and you're happy to be with me on the 4th of July. You sang Stranglehold to the stereo, couldn't take no more of that rock and roll, so we put on a little George Jones and just sang.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
It's meme-tastic. All right.
Yeah, I'm getting the cobbler emails myself. So
I mentioned just as we prepare to resume the show, Cheryl wants to know if it's Thursday. No, amazingly, it's not. Our good friend Rick just typed, and by Wolf Creek Pass, I mean vagina. All right, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964. You know what you just said to that woman on the phone just now? Just during when the Shooter Jennings songs were just playing, you were on the phone making an appointment of some kind. I don't know what it was for, but I just heard you like, you know, are you open tomorrow? And one of the last things you said to her was, I have to remember how you phrased it. Because I sort of looked up at you as you said it. You said, so I just come speak you to at the counter?
Which explains why she went, pardon?
Because you said it again. You go, do I come to the counter to talk to you? And she must have said, like, yes at that point. Yes. I just come speak you to at the counter.
Yeah. Yeah. The word's not so pretty right now.
Okay. It's the Rick Everson radio program. Thank you for joining us. 503-505-6964. We haven't even got that today's Clown Watch.
No.
Let's see. What are we else? Now it's catching. Now it's infecting me. Another installment of the Greatest Songs Ever Made. That is what else is on the way. Greatest Songs Ever Made will be coming up. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when our guests will include, I believe, and I could be wrong about this. Tomorrow's Wednesday, yes?
Yes.
So I believe we'll be talking to Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think so. Thursday we'll be joined by Ms. Anna Griffin for the Oregonian, and Friday, of course, Big Jim Willig here with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. At the news desk, it is Dante.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
The U.S. Supreme Court is considering a key campaign finance reform case involving an Arizona election law. It would provide matching funds to underfunded candidates. Legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin says this decision could mean the end of public financing of elections.
We are certainly heading that way. It's certainly not very politically popular for Congress or for state legislatures to have public financing, and the court is also pushing in that direction.
Well, it's one of those things where I think, like, when the election comes, I just... Sorry, Bob Newhart's calling you.
I don't know. Make that go away right now.
I need to get the Bob Newhart theme loaded for whenever anybody's phone rings. And we can just sort of, it would really only work with you because you're the only person I know that uses the classic ringtone. I don't even know what I was going to say. Blah, da, da, ba, 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 elections. I feel like in an election, though, it's like the first round, everybody in the world ought to be allowed to run. I mean, even if it's all 10 million people who live in a state or something, doesn't matter. And then you just do it like brackets, you know, and then the top 100 vote getters, you know, and nobody is allowed to use any campaign funds whatsoever. Nobody's allowed to do any advertising, or that everybody, you know, you get that everybody gets like one ad, but then you get the voter's pamphlet, and sure, maybe it's 75 feet thick, but I mean, look, a democracy is work.
I think you just bracket
it down.
If we're going to keep doing elections the way we did in the olden days, where we have all of our primaries, like, you know, sort of scattered amongst our states, instead of just having one big national election day, then perhaps what we should do is no more advertising allowed on television or radio. They can, post like an ad in the newspaper saying they're coming to town. And then they have to just get on a train and go city to city.
A whistle stop tour.
Like they did in the olden times.
That's a great idea.
Because otherwise, just give us one national election day. Because it's not like we have to have everything all spread out. Because they're traveling, you know, like they used to. Just do it all in one day. Otherwise, make them travel. Make them work for it.
And here's the other thing. I think as a bonus, just as a sort of a further inducement for people to take part in the democratic process, we ought to get to vote on something completely nonsensical. But then it has the force of law until the next election.
Like Taco Wednesdays.
It's funny you say that. I was going to say, pineapple on pizza. Yes, no. And, you know, and it's and if the people say no, which they most assuredly would, then there is no. I mean, if you want to do it in the privacy.
It's not allowed. Not allowed.
If you want to do it in the privacy of your home, that's fine. I just don't want to know about it or see it. And it's just not going to be served anywhere. But then you get a chance to maybe reverse it the next time the election comes around. That's all less important than this. This third soundbite we've had from legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin reminds me. Did you play that video game, Toobin?
No.
Really? It was the strangest game.
God, it sounds familiar.
It was a game where you were just floating down the river in an inner tube. And it was an arcade game. It was a stand-up arcade game. And you were just floating down the river in an inner tube. And then there would be things like your tube would get snagged on branches. I think occasionally, like every now and again, like an alligator or something might appear and you had to steer around it. Or there'd be like a whirlpool or like an undertow or something. It was sort of like Frogger, except you were going from top to bottom. And it wasn't – you were just floating sort of, and you controlled by paddling it with either your left or right hand. So it was sort of a – it was a cross between Frogger and Tetris in that you were basically falling sort of the entire time, and you had to steer a little bit to try to avoid obstacles as you sort of constantly fell down the screen, you know, by drifting down the river. It's the strangest game, and a game that I think everybody sort of remembers, if you played video games at a certain time, but I don't think anybody was like – really a huge fan of it or anything. And certainly not enough that they ever sequelized it. It must have been – it's one of those games that you feel like somebody must have gotten fired about it or something.
I've never heard it. It sounds like something that, I don't know, you just make up.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like one of those games that I don't know, that maybe somebody had designed, or he'd done a lot of work at the company, designed some other successful games, and they finally gave him a chance to, like, do one of his own. And he said, this is it. It's a game where you play cribbage with an old guy. You know, and that's it. And it's just, you know. Or how about, here's a weird game. Do you remember that game, Tapper? So you were just serving beer to people? It was
no,
a video game. There was a video game.
I don't
game.
Remember that either.
There was a video. Maybe it's just today. You might remember these. Do you remember a game called Polybius?
Are you just making things up?
Yes. No. Am I?
Do you remember a game about a one-legged robot and he gave you ice cream? No. No, I don't. It was called Creambot. All the kids were playing it.
And by Creambot, I mean penis. Okay. Here's the thing. Part of me almost feels bad making you be here right now. And yet part of me would feel bad putting you on the road behind the wheel of your car.
I feel great.
What am I to do? It's a Hobson's choice.
Happy as a clam.
Somebody's Creambot rules. I love that game. Okay. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Off to the Creambot fan forums to discuss it with other aficionados.
I'm going to go write me some Creambot slash lit.
Counting followers is a seriously flawed way to measure your impact on Twitter. It turns out one of Twitter's founders, Evan Williams, even made the point, saying someone with millions of followers may no longer actually post messages frequently, while someone followed by only tens of thousands of people may be a prolific poster whose messages are amplified by other people. So the people at Twittalyzer, an independent research firm,
Twittalyzer,
were asked to study the question of who are the most influential people on Twitter, and they came back with something they called the Influence Index. It counts the number of times somebody's Twitter name is mentioned by other users, including retweets. The Influence Index doesn't merely measure who's talking on Twitter, but how much someone is affecting the general conversation.
Right.
Apparently, it helps, first of all, if you come from one of four countries where Twitter is very popular: United States, Brazil, England, and Canada. The three top names are unfamiliar to most Americans. Luciano Huck, who is a Brazilian television star, and Rufino Bastos, who's a Brazilian comedian, and more familiar to us, Stephen Fry, is one of the most influential people on Twitter.
And yet he's not in the top 10, though, because I was actually just looking the other day at the top people with the most followers. Because I think it was, like, the number one was Lady Gaga or something. But, like, Barack Obama, you know, his name, at Barack Obama, and, you know, Britney Spears and, you know, the
Well, Barack Obama is actually number 7 on their list of the most influential people on
Now, is that true?
On Twitter. Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything retweeted that's from Barack Obama?
No.
Interesting. I wonder... Maybe it's who we follow or what we're, you know. That's interesting that I've never actually seen that, and he's the most influential. I wonder if that is because they ascribe a greater weight to a single tweet by Barack Obama than to, like, in other words.
Well, yeah, like, it's how many times you're retweeted by other people. So even though you and I may not, we may not know a lot of people that retweet Barack Obama, probably
a
lot of government people, a lot of pundits, a lot of people who,
yeah,
who follow political
stuff. 1% of the people who follow him do it, then it's more than if, like, everybody who followed me or something did
it.
Okay, all right.
There's this Rufino Bastos guy is the number one most influential person on Twitter, followed by number 2, Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah.
Number 3, Conan O'Brien. Number 4 is Stephen Fry. Number 5 is Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Number 6, Snoop Dogg. Then Barack Obama.
Okay.
After Seacrest and Snoop Dogg.
Well, that's the way I want my country to work.
Number 8, Rainn Wilson. Yeah. Number 9, Kim Kardashian. And number 10 is this fellow, Huck Luciano. They also have the 10 most followed people. And who would you imagine has the most Twitter followers?
Well, now, maybe this is what I was thinking of the other day.
Already.
Well, I don't know, because the Freakonomics guys, of course, just did a whole thing about Twitter the other day. Because, you know, the thing about the Freakonomics guys, they actually were describing, they were analyzing this whole theory that the way to become big on Twitter or to get a lot of followers is to, in turn, follow a lot of people. And they were showing that that's sort of not the case.
Right.
And they actually used themselves as an example, by the way, because they have, I think, 1.7 million followers. They follow no one. They also noted, I believe it was Kim Kardashian, who has, like, some huge, you know, X million followers. She follows, like, 12 people. There was also the guy, My Dad Says, that guy, he follows, you know, the only person he follows?
William Shatner.
You are so close. LeVar Burton.
Ah.
That was before the Twitter guy became famous. He's like, when he first set up Twitter, he's like, well, I guess I need to follow somebody, LeVar Burton. And that's the only person he follows, the only person he has ever followed. And yet he himself, has like, I don't know, 5 million people or something. Anyway, so who was the most influential?
Not the most influential, but the most followed. With 7,941,444 followers, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, that's the list that I heard the other day.
Then Justin Bieber.
Yeah, well, see, and the thing that doesn't surprise me, the Seacrest thing doesn't surprise me.
I'm surprised by Ellen DeGeneres is like the number 7th most followed person, because you got all these people on here like Kardashian and Kutcher and Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, and so I'm really actually kind of surprised, really, that Ellen DeGeneres is that big.
That does not surprise me at all, because she is online constantly and she makes internet stuff a huge part of her show. Do you watch her show much?
Not anymore. I did the first couple of years it was on, but
her show is
work at home anymore, so I don't really watch daytime TV.
It's not like I'm the target demo for that show or anything in a lot of ways, but it's a really, really well done show, and she, to her credit, she has really, really worked hard to make it, I hate the word interactive, but it's, you know, but to do a lot of online stuff and a lot of stuff that has a web presence and she never seems like she's cramming it in. Here's the great thing about Ellen DeGeneres is that Ellen DeGeneres has what I call, it's just, that whole show seems so unhurried and unforced. And obviously it is scripted and there's a director and a producer because they have to know lighting cues and what graphics to put up and, you know, they have to know what she's going to do on the internet so they can make sure to put a graphic on the screen and whatever. But the whole show just seems to unfold so organically. But she does do a lot of stuff online, and she seems like a person who is also legitimately interested in the online culture, and not just as like a shill because like somebody told her to do it. That actually doesn't surprise. I'm gonna start following Ellen DeGeneres as of today.
All right, you do that.
All right, I'm gonna start a paper route right now.
And make sure you say things directly to her a lot. And if she ever responds to you, you can say you're friends.
Why ever would you say that, Don?
Because that works for, you know, people we know.
And by people, you mean vagina.
Let's do our clown watch.
All right, here's your... Here's your clown watch for Tuesday right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. By clown, we mean Jeff.
Oh, God. Clowns.
Here's Don Taylor with your clown watch.
Jose Guadalupe Jimenez, 41, who has worked as a professional clown for the last 9 years under the name El Tin Larin, was arrested Friday morning in Newport Beach more than 9 years after allegedly raping a young girl. Orange County authorities are concerned there could be more victims. Detectives say a DNA match linked Jimenez to the kidnapping and rape of a 12-year-old girl in 2002. He grabbed the girl on a street corner in Fullerton and drove her to a nearby school parking lot where he raped her. She escaped when he left the car to talk to a motel clerk because he had taken her to a motel.
Now, he wasn't as in clown mode at the time.
She told police her attacker was a Hispanic male and was wearing a clown mask and clown makeup.
Oh, that's so... why would you have both a clown mask and clown makeup? That just seems... That's like a belt and suspenders kind of a thing.
So they entered the DNA evidence from her into the system at the time. And when he was arrested last year, 2010, his DNA was taken.
Imagine having to take a clown's DNA.
Yeah.
Don, I need you to go get a DNA sample from that clown. And then he's walking. He's just there with a cup. And
of course, creepy story, creepy picture. I posted a picture. Actually, I was just going to ask. Yesterday, yeah. And we didn't get to the story yesterday.
Oh, I saw that photo. That's disturbing.
Even without the clown makeup, he's creepy. And then it's the before and after, and you get to see him in and out of his clown makeup.
All right. This is RickEmerson.com. This is RickEmerson.com/pictures. Visual aids for March 29th. For March 29th, 2011. Yeah, you get to see him sort of clown and not clown mode.
I went online and used a translator thing to see if I could find out what El Tindlerin meant, and it doesn't seem to have any direct translation to English, so I don't know what his name actually means.
He's altogether disturbing, this guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
No. I'm just saying, people, if you have children, do not ever hire a clown for your kid's party,
and for God's sake, just keep your hands away from its mouth. Yeah. I mean, if you have it there, I mean, it leads to nothing good.
It's horrible.
All right, there's your clown watch for. You were right to not do this yesterday, or really anywhere outside of the confines of this show in the studio. That's your clown watch for Tuesday.
Ah!
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. Yes, we have confirmed. So Aaron Mesh will be in the studio, or at least calling tomorrow. We will be having speaks with Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week tomorrow.
I hope he's here.
See, now there's a little joke happening inside your head somewhere, and I just don't know what it is.
I don't know. I'm just thinking if I feel even remotely as giddy as I feel right now, it'd just be great to have Aaron Mesh and his mustache here in the studio.
What if he didn't have a mustache?
And by mustache, I mean mustache.
Okay. But, I mean, is the mustache the real? Is that what tips it? You know?
I'm just fascinated by his constant reshaping of his facial hair and his outfits. He sort of reinvents himself on a regular basis.
He's like his own. It's like those big oversized Barbie heads you'd have when you're a kid. He's like he's his own oversized Barbie head. He just look in the mirror and constantly be, you know, how shall Aaron look today? And just be, you know, restyling himself in some sort of aggressive or rakish fashion. Let's do one more, then we'll do Greatest Songs Ever Made and take a little break.
Okay. We had talked actually earlier this morning on one of the other shows about Mad Men and whether it being knocked back to July is what they're looking at right now of 2012.
But July 2012, yeah.
And this comes because of a conversation that Lionsgate and AMC is having with producer Matt Weiner. They have yet to come to an agreement on their contractual obligations for the fifth season. The April upfront meetings are coming up, and they haven't actually made any deal with him yet. Apparently, there is a deal on the table that would pay Weiner close to $30 million over 2 years. That would make him the highest paid showrunner on basic cable.
Not enough.
Well, his sticking point is that AMC and Lionsgate are asking in exchange for this, integration of product placement into the series, cutting 2 minutes from each episode's running time in favor of more commercials,
right,
and eliminating or reducing two regular cast members to save money. And Weiner
is a dick move.
Resisting all of those things.
Well, first of all, they have a lot of product placement. They have product placement for vintage products that are still on sale now. I mean, Look, Rick Emerson is a capitalist like everybody else in this country. So I can get with the product placement.
I wonder if by integrating product placement into the series, they mean Mad Men merchandise being seen on screen that would then be available for purchase later.
I don't know. Or, I mean, it's like I can get the thing at the product placement. I wouldn't like the thing of them shaving the show to put in more ads, but I mean, I guess, you know, whatever. If it's an expensive, and if he's asking for $30 million,
yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is, it's tempted to go like, well, they're jerks. But on the other hand, like, he's holding them up for $30 million.
He had a they had a standoff for season two that was really similar, though, where and it was, again, it was over an extra 2 minutes of commercial load on the show.
Right.
And eventually what they decided is that he was okay with the extra 2 minutes if AMC would agree to let the show run 2 minutes longer, like over into
right,
the next
right.
time slot. And so that was the
So he can just screw whoever follows him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, an insider is saying that basically, yeah, they want the show shorter and cheaper with fewer actors and more product integration. And Weiner is saying no.
Oh, it's so tempting to say that they're just being a-holes about it. But again, it's like imagine having an additional $30 million to make before you even broke even, you know, before you even were at zero. If it, like you started off. Because imagine whatever the show costs now to produce, let's say it's, you know, whatever. Let's say it's $1 million an episode. I don't know what it is. But let's say it's $1 million an episode. And then imagine on top of $1 million an episode, before you even air a single – before you sell a single spot, you're $30 million in the hole that you've got to make before you're even – before you're just not losing money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they can't do it, but it's like – so that's why they're doing that thing. That's why they're doing the little poison pill there of like, well, we'll give it to you, but you got to fire people. So that really does put him in an awkward position.
Yeah, and the 2 minutes. I mean, because 2 minutes of commercial time in a show like that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. And even with the 2 minutes, you know, basically put back, that would still put Mad Men's running time at longer than pretty much 90% of any basic cable series that's already on. It's still a much longer running show. But again, I think, you know, from his point of view, this is also one of those things of, I think you look at what's going to happen, you know, at our next contract negotiation,
right,
you know, 3 years from now, if I give them this, what are they going to want to slice you know, next time.
I'm tempted to. Here's the thing. I really am tempted to side with them only because of this. Because I wonder if anybody else is getting a raise or if it's just him. Because if everybody's getting raises across the board, like if, you know, John Hamm's getting a raise, January Jones or whoever, if they're all getting raises, then I guess, okay, then whatever. Then everybody gets theirs. And people. But if he's the only one, and I'm not saying he doesn't have a right. I mean, look, as I said, it's a capitalist society. So if he asks for 30 and they'll give him 30, more power to him. But at the same time, if everybody else is stuck into some contract they signed where they're getting the same every year and he's getting $30 million, you know, which is an increase of however much, then it's like you almost got to, you know, say that they're being more reasonable about it than he is. Then he's kind of screwing. I'm a genius. Literally, honestly, that's what I did. All right. Now, hold on. And we'll have to see. And I think we may be back. I think we may be, okay. I'm just going to, just to be on the safe side, I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Hold on.
Do what you have to.
Do what you must. All right.
And by what you must, I mean.
Yes. Okay. Okay. And two, one. There we go, and we're back.
Hey.
All right, awesome. You know, here's how amusing that was. I'm not even going to edit that out. I'm just going to leave that in. A little warts and all is what that is. You're listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Somebody just says, "Ooh, wrong button, Rick." Thank you so much.
And someone on Twitter says, "Don, you didn't know how to operate the show," so.
Yeah, but, you know, but I'm also moderately awake over here, so I really have no excuse. Plus, there's a huge green thing that is lit up all the time to show that we're on the air and broadcasting, and then it just stopped being green, and it started being, you know, nothing.
Now it's orange.
Yeah, it's because it wasn't even that the computer was off. It was just that I had somehow kicked out the power cord, and so it got down to, like, 2% battery power, and I went, ooh, I'm going to go to sleep now. So, awesome. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We're geniuses. All right. I lied. Let's do one more short story here, and we'll do Greatest Songs Ever after that.
Oh, okay.
My rhythm has been thrown off.
I have any stories left. A fiery accident on Interstate 30 in Fort Worth early Monday morning has left a father dead, a wrong-way driver behind bars, and a serious damage to a major highway that will take months to repair. Lewis Neves, 23-year-old man suspected of causing the deadly fireball, who had moved to Fort Worth recently from Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah.
Said, well, I'm really sorry.
Is that the end?
Around 2:30 a.m., police started getting frantic 911 calls that a driver was traveling eastbound in the westbound lanes of I-30. Minutes later, fuel tanker truck driver Alejandro Rea, 45, lost his life at the hands of that suspected drunk driver several miles down the road. Neves, who is being held in jail, has just a few stitches above his eye. But he also learned while in jail of the man who died as a result of his accident. And he said, I know I committed an accident, a real bad accident. I feel sorry for that family that lost that person. Neves had been in Fort Worth for just a few months. He moved from Vancouver, Washington with dreams of starting his own restaurant. His uncle and aunt were surprised when he called to tell them he was at a party at a bar on Sunday night. And he said he remembers drinking about 10 beers. Doesn't remember anyone trying to stop him from driving, has no memory of getting on the highway in the wrong direction, no memory of the crash, and no memory of the explosion that killed the tanker truck driver. A police officer woke him up at the hospital and told him he was going to jail because he'd killed someone.
Well, that's, you know, and the idea that, like, the tanker truck would actually explode, too, because you see that sort of thing in movies, and then part of you thinks, well, that doesn't actually happen in real life. I mean, that's one of those, you know, the shark wouldn't really blow up. But, I mean, then every now and again, something does. Like, you'll see in the news, usually, like, the cops are chasing somebody, and the car will go out of control, and it goes down a hill, and then there'll be that half a second of lag, and then, and it goes, and you realize that you are driving a thing, or perhaps, in this case, slamming into a thing that is filled with stuff that goes bang real loudly.
Yeah.
So, all right, there you go. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Just a moment, we'll do another installment of the greatest songs ever made. Don't forget, tomorrow I'll be joined by Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. Thursday, Anna Griffin from The Oregonian. Friday, Mr. Big Jim Willig with another installment of Humor Me. Comedy 101. Also tomorrow, our final day of filling in for Mr. Bob Miller over on KPAM from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. That is AM 860. 860 on your AM dial. Followed by Legion of News, followed by this show, followed by Don Taylor doing Hamfisted Radio with Scott Daly and Bobby Fatboy Roberts over at Cascadia.fm or HamfistedRadio.com. That's a lot of information right there. Here's some more. It's time for another exciting installment of The Greatest Songs Ever Made. Simplicity can be dangerous. Too little variation in a song becomes repetition without purpose, an exercise in cyclical indulgence, and not too long after that, becomes what radio programmers would call a tune-out factor. Hence the radio edit, a truncated version of a song in which whole verses or solos or codas are removed by the ham-handed pro-tooled hacks in the A&R department, a 5 or 7 minute song becoming 3 or 4 minutes. That is a situation in which truly no one wins. But there are cases, all too rare, of course, in which repetition works. Repetition becomes a mantra. It becomes hypnotizing. Repetition becomes the key to the song's success. Such a song is our focus today. Released in 1988, the song is also notable for marking part of a late life and late career resurgence of a classic singer and songwriter. Along with his frequent compositional partner Sharon Robinson, the singer created a work of almost singular bleakness, of unflinching realism, or nihilism, depending on who you are and how you see the world. And at 5 minutes and 19 seconds in length, he takes his time laying out the various ways in which the game is rigged, the deck is stacked, and the dice are in fact loaded. The song, released on an 8-song masterwork of an album, attracted little notice for some time, but grew over the years to become a true cult favorite. Never on the charts, rarely on the radio, but known by an astonishing number of people, because the song is itself astonishing. Even though it probably shouldn't be. After all, if this song had been on the radio, it would have been half the length, cut all to hell by someone who doesn't know the beauty and power of repetition, of pattern, of rhythm, and of doom, as told, prophesied, and described by a man who was, by all rights, far too old to sound so unbelievably cool. If hell was coming, he was ready. Splendidly dressed, effortlessly seductive, marvelously intelligent, and absolutely sure of what he saw. One of the greatest songs ever made. This is Leonard Cohen and Everybody Knows on The Rick Emerson Show.
That the dice are loaded, everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. everybody know. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. 503-505-6964. We are wrapping it up momentarily. So join us tomorrow. That is Wednesday. Wednesday, March 30th, 2011, for a final day filling in for Mr. Bob Miller over on KPAM at AM 860. That is from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., followed by Legion of News at noon, followed by The Rick Emerson Show, I don't know, shortly thereafter, after a brief musical interlude, and Don Taylor doing Hamfisted Radio with Bobby Fatboy Roberts and Scott Daly over at Cascadia.fm or at HamfistedRadio.com. All right, and this is all true. All right. Hello, Don Taylor.
Hiya.
We're going to end the show now.
Okay. Should I even look at this email that just says subject line cream butt?
Sure.
Cream butt. Oh, there's a photo. Photo of cream butt. He's a robot with ice cream.
Okay.
Apparently he actually exists.
Goodbye, everybody. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. And yes, somebody asked if after Leonard Cohen, he said, "Please, for the love of God, tell me you're going to play something upbeat after that." No. I have just the ticket queued up. What is it? You'll have to wait just moments to find out. From the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good things. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. He's not the one who kicked the cord out. That was me. He would have not done that. I on the other hand, did that. Executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa, who tolerates us to a far greater degree than really than could be reasonably expected of anybody. and so forth. After a brief interlude, we'll have an encore for today's Legion of News, followed by an encore of this very fine radio program. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show is made possible by a generous grant from y'all. So we thank you. Continue to spread the word, if you will. It never, ever, ever goes unappreciated. As Mr. Paul Stanley would say, without you, there ain't no us. So we appreciate it. It is Tuesday, March 29th, 2011. That is The Frequency, Kenneth. As always, thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye now.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be. Womanly to you, strong but not too much of a brute. It's cool if she's powerful, but way better if she's cute. Well, for all of us girls who don't fit in, I say go Amazonian. You could be a kick-ass bruiser and be loose, and I'm not a whore. This is a metaphor for my super fantastically mystical feminine goddess core. And I hate it when women make that noise that we don't need daddies, men or boys. Even the hardcore dykes love shaped. Vagina. It's universal, like a penis, but reversible. Come on in, the water's fine. It's not my vagina, it's our vagina. My vagina is 8 miles, 8 miles wide. Everyone can come in, come in, come inside. Echo, 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 whoa, 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 just the boys.
My vagina is.
Yeah.